This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling on into our numero dos. The Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, on the ones and the twos this AM. Be a part of the show. The phone line and the text line are now the same line. 844-FAN-FONE. If you're like me and you don't know which numbers correspond to which letters, don't worry, I'll tell you that too. 844-326-3663 is the number.
Yeah, I don't understand why that continues to be a thing. I know it's going against what we're supposed to, but I mean, when cell phones came around, I think the letters and the, it just doesn't.
I will say this. If I pull up the dialing screen on my phone, it still has the letters
on
there.
Doesn't have the letters?
Yeah. Okay. It still has the letters on there where you can spell them out. But yeah, I mean, it is the fan phone, 844-FANFONE.
Or do what most people do. Just program it into your phone and you never have to dial it. You just
There's
push,
the one.
Call. You just push fan.
That's
and it. Will call us.
Go ahead, make us a contact and make us a favorite contact because we want you on the Armada text line. We want you on the Renewal by Intercent of the Carolinas fan phone, and they're the same number, 844-326-3663. This morning, and something we're going to start doing every day on the show, is the text poll of the day. And at some point, Lonzo and I are going to stumble onto a wonderful, fun, goofy nickname to call this. But right now, the text line poll of the day is, which of the four semifinal teams do you believe will be crowned the 2024-25 college football national champions? Text your answer, Lions, Irish, Buckeyes, or Longhorns, to 844-326-3663. Text your answer, Lions, Irish, Longhorns, or Buckeyes, to 844-326-3663. We will count those votes at the end of the show, and the reason we're doing this is because the software does the counting for me, so now I don't have to count votes anymore. Well, we will count them at 945 and let you know who the people believe will be the champs.
Are you not just calling it the fan poll?
I mean, because that's boring. We need a shtick.
All those, well, I mean,
we got the Ray Memorial Hotline.
Yeah, but temporarily, the fan poll works other than those 10 words that you said.
It's boring. And succinct is not a word anybody's ever used to describe me. Okay? It's just not.
That's probably true.
It's very true. It's definitively true. All right. 844-326-3663. That is the call number and the text line. Send your answer. Which of the four semifinal teams do you believe wins the Natty? Lions, Irish, Buckeyes, Longhorns. Pick one. Send it to 844-326-3663 on the text line. We'll count them up at the end of the show and tell you who it is that you, the people, believe will win the crown this year. It is 7:05 in the a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, you have less than 55 minutes till you got to get to work, clock in, lock in, and be ready to go. And then the best part of the day, that first break that you take like 11 to 13 minutes into the working day, and you walk down the hallway, you head over to the break room. You stand in that one little weird dark corner so the boss can't see you when he walks down the hall, and you start talking sports with your coworkers. And if you're going to do that, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, you need this. A It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your co-workers this AM. Once thou does, this is what you are going to be talking about this lovely upstate Friday morning. Let us dive right in with item number one. The final spot in the college football playoff semifinals has been determined, and it belongs to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, a 23-10 winners over the Georgia Bulldogs last night. And I'm going to keep it a buck. It was a win that, if we have to put a superlative on it, I think we would say gritty, because it damn sure wasn't pretty. Riley Leonard, 15 of 24, 90 yards through the air, one touchdown. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish ran for 150 yards. 80 of those yards were gathered by Riley Leonard. Jadarian Price had 37. Jeremiah Love had 19. No other Irishman had more than 9 on the day. Over on the other side, Lonzo said, yo, what if Gunnar Stockton maybe is him a little bit? And the answer is, he is him a little bit, or at least it looked like he was him a little bit last night. 20 of 32, 234 yards and one touchdown. But I think the game comes down to the fact that the Georgia Bulldogs amassed only 62 rushing yards. Now, in fairness, they did go minus 23 rushing yards due to sacks collected against Gunnar Stockton last night, so it really would have been closer to 80, but they gave 23 back in sack yardage allowed. Look, it wasn't a pretty game, okay? It just wasn't. You had a fumble early in the game by Trevor Etienne, the younger of the ETNs. Trevor Etienne, the former Gator-turned-Bulldog, had a fumble that probably took seven, at least took three, because they were well into field goal range, but took at least seven off the board for the Georgia Bulldogs. You had a wide-open pass on the left-hand side that would have, could have, should have been a touchdown for the Dogs. That was just dropped. There's no other way to describe it. It was just dropped. There's another set. There's 14 points right there off the board for the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't think Notre Dame was all that impressive, to be honest with you. I don't think they were that impressive at this point. I think they were good enough, and they did not make the mistakes that Georgia made. I think Georgia shot themselves in the foot. Now, I have seen a couple of people this morning. I'm not even going to push back against it because I don't necessarily think that it's wrong. But I have seen a handful of people this morning say, yo, at the end of the day, Marcus Freeman just flat out out-coached Kirby Smart. And I do think that there were some moments for sure where Marcus Freeman had Kirby Smart kind of on the ropes a little bit, kind of slow to respond to some of the changes that Marcus Freeman was making. But I also think that, you know, this is one of those spots that, while you guys know I'm almost always going to defend players before coaches, I'm going to defend Kirby Smart here. Kirby Smart can't do anything about Trevor Etienne fumbling the ball inside the 10-yard line. Kirby Smart can't do anything when his wide... Now, you can say maybe he didn't coach up the wide receivers good enough in the offseason. But, man, these are Division I Power 5 blue-chip school wide receivers. Yes, I'm sorry if my expectation is catch, receive, wide receiver. That's kind of your thing. That's kind of your job description. It literally is the name of the job. Get wide and receive. And they didn't do that last night. At least two first downs that resulted in punts dropped by Georgia. At least one touchdown dropped by Georgia. Wide open. Where Gunnar Stockton was putting the ball on the mark, and guys were just dropping the ball. Georgia had more drops this year than any other team in college football. I think they finished last night with, I know, at least 41 drops on the season. That's a lot of drops for a team that played 14 games. 14 games. You're talking about nearly 5 drops per game. Yeah, that'll lose you football games for sure. Either way, Notre Dame is in. They will take on Penn State in the semifinals. Ohio State and Texas will do battle in the other semifinal. The winners of those two games will meet up on January 20th in the national championship game. Let's go to item number two. Big 12 Commissioner Jim Yarmark, Brett Yarmark. I don't know where I got Jim from.
It's his brother. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes
shut up, Jim.
Take the limelight. Yeah.
Brett Yarmark is calling for more consistency in determining what constitutes a targeting penalty after no call was made on Texas safety Michael Taft's high hit on Arizona State wide receiver Melquan Stovall late in the college football playoff quarterfinal. Taft struck Stovall with a helmet-to-helmet hit as Stovall caught a pass near midfield with a 1:15 left in regulation, and the game tied on Wednesday night. No flag was thrown. Referee Larry Smith of the Big Ten halted play to check the replay for possible targeting as Stovall was being helped off the field. Smith announced there was no penalty. Had a 15-yard penalty been called, Arizona State would have been in range to attempt a tie-breaking field goal. Instead, the Sun Devils punted. Texas would drive down the field. They also missed a game-winning field goal as Brett Auburn hit the doink, and it sent the game to overtime. Texas would win in the double OT period. Yarmark said in a statement yesterday that he was proud of how Arizona State represented the Big 12 and that the Sun Devils proved they were one of the most talented teams in the nation. He went on to say that, quote, as a member of the College Football Playoff Management Committee, I have had multiple discussions seeking clarity surrounding the targeting call on Arizona State's final drive of the fourth quarter with Richard Clark. Moving forward, we need to address CFP officiating to ensure national standards are developed. These standards will be crucial to the CFP's future, and I look forward to discussing them with my fellow committee members when we meet next. We have talked about this targeting a little bit. We got into it very briefly yesterday, and my stance is this. I can see why they didn't call it a targeting. Honestly, I can see why they didn't call it a targeting. I don't think that there was, and this is, I'm going to say this, Lonzo and I have made the jokes before that frequently he, myself, and Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall, will find ourselves having a discussion in the fortress of nerditude over on the other side of the hallway.
We definitely don't want to talk about the one from yesterday.
No, we don't. But we'll talk about some of them. Chris and I specifically are really big into semantics, the meaning of words, right? What words are, what they mean, and the context in which they are utilized. Because I really do think, like, a huge chunk of the problems of humanity come from the fact that people don't always say what they mean or mean what they say. And one of the things that I think is big here is the concept of a player, A, lowering the helmet, and B, launching into contact. I don't think that Taft launched into the contact. I think he was running through a tackle. I think there is a difference between propelling yourself like a spear.
He launched for sure. There's no way that you can brace yourself to go forward. That's still launching.
No, see, I think he was running through contact. And to me, there is a difference between maintaining momentum through contact and loading up and launching it. I did not see a load up, and I think a launch requires
up. Once you lower your helmet and turn it into a weapon, you are launching.
See, that's first off, no. Launching comes from the legs. It has nothing to do with your head. I can launch with my head up, my head down, my head sideways, looking at the stars, looking at the grass. I can launch with my head in any direction because launch is in the legs and hips. And this is why I'm saying I think this is a situation where you're kind of going to have some subjectivity to all of this because the words in the rule are going to be debated. I don't think he launched. I think launch comes from the legs.
From what I've seen, the majority of the people believe.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so you are the...
I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like
a vast minority.
Singular.
Yeah. No, not singular.
As far as I know, singular.
There's a handful of people out there, but I did not see a launch. I saw maintained momentum through the tackle. And now the debate becomes, did he lower his head to the status that we would call it targeting? And that's the thing. That's a hard argument to make because you got to say, okay, what's the angle at which a head can be where we say it's lowered versus it's a guy that's accepting contact? These are important distinctions, right? And so I think that I think that I'm not even saying I agree wholeheartedly with it or not. I'm saying I can understand why. Because how many times in sports, and I do disagree with this philosophy, so that we're clear. But how many times in sports have we seen in the bottom of the ninth or late fourth quarter or late third period or whatever, a referee come in and make a call and people start screaming, you have got to let the players determine the game, not the whistles. Now, I don't agree with that philosophy. If it's a foul in the first quarter, it's a foul in the fourth. If it's a foul on the opening drive, it's a foul on the closing drive. But I do think that over the years, we have, to some degree, trained referees that if a call is close with the game on the line late in it, you let the players determine the outcome, not the whistle. And I think that might have been what happened here. They looked at it and they said, it is close enough to us that we don't want to affect. Because if that's a 15-yard, I'm not saying Arizona State wins that game, but their probability of winning that game goes to like 90%. Because they're going to end up with a mid-range, at the worst, mid-range field goal. And they still had another couple of minutes to push that thing further into Texas territory. And with Cam Scataboo, they're doing that. So I think they probably looked at that and said, it is a close enough call that we don't want to just hand Arizona State the win. And people got real mad about it. My question is, would there be the same level of discourse about the call if that wasn't Texas? If that wasn't an SEC team? If it was flipped? If it was Texas driving and Arizona State had the hit, would people still be upset about it or would it be good? All right, very quickly, let's get in here to item number three. I don't know if this is anything that anybody else is interested in, but I was, because I stayed up late last night to watch the 76ers and the Warriors play basketball. Why? Because Steph Curry is still him. 11 of 15, 8 of 8, a perfect night from behind the arc, 30 points. He was plus 32 in the plus-minus category last night with a 32-point night. Also handed out 10 dimes and had six boards as well. Y'all, Steph Curry's still a dog. 8 of 8. He is now committed last night to coming out in the next game. He wants to go for the record of most consecutive made threes without a miss. And if anybody in the NBA's got that run at him, it's the cat who was a flamethrower last night.
And all seven people who will watch it will be excited.
Seven people watching the most popular player in the NBA? Seven people?
Did you not report on the ratings? I do recall on this program.
Yeah, they're averaging more than seven people.
How no one's watching?
They are watching. And oh, by the way, I will say this, because you're correct, I did. You know the ratings are going up when football's over. We know what this country is. We know what this country loves. When football's over, the ratings go back up. That's just how it's going to work. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We got plenty more we need to get into as we roll through the 7 o'clock hour of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Real damn good, Corey LaJoy. Welcome back to the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you here on the show. Wanted to get to this story real quick because I know that it is something that many of you are going to have feelings about, and that's what Sports Talk Radio is all about. Feelings. Am I right? Phil punter Brady Hodges said he opted out of Phil's appearance in the Sun Bowl this week because the Cardinals NIL collective did not pay money promised to him back in September. Hodges posted on social media during Tuesday's game against Washington in El Paso, Texas, that he had not been with the team since December 10th. Hodges wrote on social media, quote, I graduated on December 13th and had every intention on being with the team had they held up their end of the deal, end quote. Hodges did not disclose how much money he is owed by the collective. Dan Furman, president of the 502 Circle, the official NIL collective of the Cardinals, did not respond to an emailed request for comment. Hodges was Louisville's primary punter and holder for two seasons. Redshirt freshman Carter Schwartz took over those duties in the Cardinals' 35-34 Sun Bowl win. Schwartz averaged 43.7 yards on six punts with two down at the Washington 3-yard line and another at the Husky 16. Matthew Sluka, starting quarterback for the UNLV football team, left the Rebels after three games in September because he was never paid a $100,000 NIL deal. Former Florida quarterback signee Jaden Rashada, now playing at Georgia, sued Gators coach Billy Napier last year over an unpaid $13 million NIL deal, and several Tulsa players claim they were never paid thousands in NIL commitments made by former coach Kevin Wilson. So Hodges is not the first player to decide to bail on his team over what he alleges are unpaid NIL deals.
It's a breach of contract. You're getting paid to play. You are not, they're not paying you, so you don't play. I mean, it's like not getting a paycheck at work and going, okay, I'm not working anymore till you give me my paycheck.
So once again, you are making up your own reality here. That's not what this money is for.
I am not. This is the reality of everyone except for, it seems to be, you.
No.
They are paid to play. They have been paid to play since NIL started. And who cares? Good for them. They're getting the money. But if they ain't getting paid to play, they're not playing. I don't have a problem with this guy doing this because it's a breach of contract. They paid him to play. They stopped paying him, so he stopped playing.
So, once again, words matter.
Right.
They are not paid to play.
They are.
They are paid for their name, image, and likeness. They are not paid by the school. The school is the one they are playing for. If the school paid them, then yes, you can say they're paid to play.
Do schools have collectives?
The schools and collectives are not the same entity. They are different entities.
Do the schools have collectives?
Technically, no.
Uh-huh.
The collectives do not operate under the authority of the school or under the umbrella of the athletic department. They are separate entities. Now, they may work and do work in just about every case hand in hand with the school, but they are not the same entity, right? This is like saying, when I come on here and I say, hey, go to the official lunchtime destination of the Rob Brown Show, Three Friends Bar and Grill. Do I work for Three Friends Bar and Grill? No. Do I work hand in hand with them because we have a partnership? Absolutely. Right? I don't work for them. They don't pay me. They pay me for name, image, and likeness. They pay me for me, Rob Brown, to say Three Friends Bar and Grill is the official lunchtime destination of the Rob Brown Show. Because it is, go there. Trust me, it's delicious. But I don't work for them, just like the collectives do not work for the schools. Words matter and the situation matters. But I will say this. You said a word that I think is the key, the crux of this conversation, and that is contract. I think you're going to get to a point where the contracts start to matter. There was a really interesting development with the Cheez-Its Bowl, South Carolina v. Illinois. I don't know how many of you followed this. If you didn't see it, the Cheez-Its Bowl signed an NIL deal with Lenore Sellers and the quarterback from the Illini. Signed an NIL deal. The Cheez-Its Bowl itself signed an NIL deal with both quarterbacks. Why do you think they did that? To make sure the two guys that everybody was going to tune in to see play, played. That game is a hell of a lot less interesting if one or both of the two starting quarterbacks decide to opt out of that bowl game. So the Cheez-Its Bowl said, yo, we'll toss you a couple of G's. And I'm sure it's going to, if and when we find out the deets of the contracts, I'm sure it's going to be like six figures each when it's all said and done. But the two quarterbacks both cut NIL deals with the bowl. Why? So that they would not opt out. So that they would play and make the game more interesting. And they did, and it worked. And I would make the argument the Cheez-Its Bowl was the most interesting, entertaining bowl game that's not a playoff game, right? Like, is there another non-playoff game in the bowls that's been more entertaining than the Cheez-Its Bowl? I would say no. I would say there hasn't been. So I think the plan worked. But I will say when it comes to stuff like this, we are going to get to a point. I had this conversation on BetMGM tonight with Hayton S. Mario and Brandon. We're going to get to a point where these NIL deals are going to have to be negotiated by labor attorneys and they are going to become legally binding contractual agreements. Here's the problem. The problem is You can have players just start saying, hey, look, here's the deal. I'll sign this NIL deal, but the NIL deal will not extend to a bowl game. That, honestly, that's what I would do if I was a player. I'd say I'll sign an NIL deal, but the NIL deal does not come into play if A, I have an injury, or B, a bowl game. Because, you know, people getting on Cam Ward. I jumped on the text line this morning, and there was a text that came in to Wire to Wire last night. Let me go find it. Here it is. Texter said, Cam Ward broke the touchdown record and quit after. If I was an NFL person, he would not be drafted by my team. He's a cancer. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. First off, NFL teams don't care about non-playoff bowl games. They don't care. I have talked to them. When I go cover games, I sit next to them. At the ACC title game, I quite literally was in a conversation with the scouting team from the Pittsburgh Steelers who were next to me. And I was talking to them about who they were there to see and yada, yada, yada. And I didn't get into this conversation with them, but I've gotten in years gone by when I've covered conference championships and bowl games and yada, yada, yada. I've had the conversation with scouts before. What do you look at in these non-playoff bowl games or non-playoff games? And the answer was, we have our mind made up about a guy before we get there. This is why players opt out. You know why Jalen Milroe played for Alabama in the, Relia Quest Car Bowl or whatever it was against Michigan? You know why he played? To raise his draft stock. Because they kind of feel the way about players in these non-playoff bowl games, the way that the conference committee said they care about teams on conference championship weekend. If you play in them, you can raise your stock, but if you don't play in them, you can't lower it, right? Like, we don't have the data point. But yada, yada, yada. If I'm a guy like a Cam Ward who's expecting to be drafted inside the top 10 in the NFL draft, which means I'm looking at millions, if not tens of millions of dollars in the NFL draft, I don't particularly care if a texter to the fan upstate says, I wouldn't draft him. He's okay, I don't care. You know why? Because you're not the one that's drafting me. And if you're not the one that's drafting me, I'm not really worried about your opinion. I'll wipe my tears with $100 bills when I get to the league. And I'll light them on fire because I'll have a lot more of them than you do. All right? I don't care. But when I look at situations like this one, I'm going to start with this. If what Hodges is saying is true, and that he cut a deal with the collective for X amount of dollars, and the collective did not come through with that money, then why are any of you mad? As Lonzo just pointed out a second ago, if you shake hands with an employer to go do a job, and then they don't pay you, are you going to keep working? And if you find out that someone you know isn't getting paid by that employer and they go somewhere else, are you going to go, oh, you're selfish, you're a cancer? No, you're going to go, of course you didn't play if they didn't pay you. So why are we doing it differently here? If they made him a deal and they didn't honor it, who the hell cares if he doesn't play in a meaningless game? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The new text line is up and running. The new text line has the same number as the call-in line, 844-326-3663. Save the Fan Upstate as a contact in your phone book and text the show, 844-326-3663. One of the new things we'll be doing every day on the show now is a daily text poll that you can text in your vote. We're starting simple. We're starting easy on the first one. Which of the four semifinal teams do you think is most likely to win the national championship? Here is how you vote. You text the word Buckeyes, Irish, Longhorns, or Lions to 844-326-3663. Text the word Buckeyes, Irish, Longhorns, or Lions to 844-326-3663. At the end of the show, we will tabulate your votes and tell you who the people's choice is for the day, and I will make that announcement on the Fan Upstate's Twitter and Facebook pages. Text Buckeyes, Irish, Longhorns, or Lions to 844-326-3663. As of right now, great one, 78% of our texting base is saying Buckeyes. Your Ohio State University Buckeyes are running away with this poll early. If you think you want to either add to that total or sway the vote, shoot us a text. And if you'd like to, start your text with Buckeyes, Irish Longhorns, or Lions, and then you can add your reasoning on behind it. But start your text with Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish, 844-326-3663, and we'll tell you the people's choice at the end of the show. Texter said, Gamecocks. Oh, wait. Okay, that's fun. Not one of the keywords. It won't trigger a vote, but I like the enthusiasm. Texter said, Rob, what are the chances that Carolina could draft Cam Scataboo? I would be kind of hyped if they did.
I don't know. Are you sold on him in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. I am.
I know he's being compared to Christian McCaffrey.
I got a better comp for you.
He was worn out in that game.
Yeah, he ran the ball 30 times. He had 99 receiving yards, 204 rushing yards. I was winded watching him.
So you're saying that a normal NFL running back doesn't run for 30 times?
I'm saying no. No. Find me one that has more than once this year. Like Derrick Henry, I don't think has touched 30 yards, and he's the workhorse of the NFL. I don't think he's had 30 carries in a game. I would bet you that there are less than five NFL running backs who have got 30 carries in any game this year. I might be wrong, but I don't think you're going to find five running backs that have carried the ball 30 times. I think the highest guys are like 27, 28 with any regularity. I don't think anybody's getting to 30 more than a time or two in a single game. I think there may be a few, but not many. But it's not just that many carries and 204 rushing yards. It's also where he's carrying the ball. It's the fact that he was converting two-point conversions, running and carrying multiple defenders with him. It's that he also had 99 receiving yards in this game. That man went for 300-plus all-purpose yards in that game. Yeah, hell yeah, he was winded. I'll tell you who I think he comps to. Taysom Hill. I think he's more Taysom Hill than he is Christian McCaffrey.
He can throw the ball.
Yeah.
We saw that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm utilizing as an occasional quarterback. I'll tell you what, I'll absolutely wildcat him. Are you kidding me? I'm putting number four back there in the wildcat. I'm going, look, he's keeping the ball. We're going to put a couple of fullbacks and a tight end to the strong side, and we're just going to power rush him right at you. Good luck. I think Cam Scataboo is a good running back at the NFL. I think he's a rarely used running back, but I think for what he can be, which is kind of a gadget play kind of guy, I think absolutely I'd be interested in that if I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. Now, number one, we got to find out where the Panthers are drafting. Do they win against Atlanta? Dave Canales said, we're going to win this game. Well, not we're going to win, but we're going to go try to win this game. We're going to bring the guys that are healthy starters. We are going to throw them out there. And if they beat Atlanta, that costs them draft picks. Are they willing to do that? I don't know. We'll find out. It kind of strikes me as, I've said this before, coaches and players won't tank, but organizations will. GMs will make moves to try to hurt their team's ability to win. Like right now, I gave out this bet last night as one of my favorite bets for the NFL weekend. I got a three-team moneyline parlay going. Buffalo to beat New England, Denver to beat Kansas City, and Tampa Bay to beat New Orleans. Because New Orleans is not going to take themselves out of a top 10 draft pick to beat Tampa Bay in a meaningless game. Kansas City's rolling out the backups. And oh, by the way, if Kansas City loses this game, the Cincinnati Bengals don't go to the playoffs. I'd rather have Denver in than Cincinnati.
I want to see Kansas City C team beat Denver.
Well, I know you do, because that's a bleep Denver mentality, and I respect
absolutely
that.
Absolutely it is.
Listen, I want to see New Orleans beat Tampa and take that. Of course, I still want Tampa to win the NFC South, because I'd rather Tampa win it than Atlanta win it, but I still would rather beat Tampa. That being said, if you take the fan cap off and put on the long-term cap, I'd rather have the Saints have a top 10 draft pick than a meaningless win over Tampa in week 18 that does nothing for a team that's got a bunch of guys that are retiring or leaving at the end of the year, right? Like, I don't care. So, Denver to beat Kansas City, because Kansas City hurts themselves if they win. Buffalo to beat New England, because New England loses the number one draft overall pick if they win. And Tampa Bay to beat New Orleans, because New Orleans takes themselves out of a top 10 draft pick if they win. a meaningless game. So I'm going with those three moneyline teams. And by the way, it only goes to plus 125. If you take all three to win outright, it's only a plus 125 bet. That's how long the odds are. But blah, blah, blah. Put all that aside for a minute. We got to see what Carolina does, because I am interested in seeing where they're going to draft and if that's the right pick. You got to keep in mind, you still got Miles Sanders on this team. He's on the IR. You still got Sanders. You got Chuba Hubbard. You got Blackshear. Now, I think you can cut ties with Blackshear. He's a nice little scat back, change of pace, but he's not a team changing back. In fact, if anything, I feel like I could plug Cam Scataboo into that place and be in a good spot. The other question is, do you need to take Scataboo in a top 32 pick? Running backs don't get drafted early. They don't. Your first running back's coming off the board probably at like 12, 13.
Yeah, but every once in a while, there's a guy who stands out above everybody else, and teams believe he's a
yeah, but is that
once
Cam
in
Scataboo?
A lifetime. Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he is. So if the Panthers drafted, let's say, somewhere in the top 10, which
they will.
They probably will, and they picked him, how many people would be mad?
I can't think many, right? I got to think Panther fans. I don't know. I would be. I got to think they'd be excited.
They need a lot of help everywhere.
For sure. I'm not arguing with that. I think they absolutely do.
So if you draft him, you're saying Chuba Hubbard is a failed experiment.
No, I think Miles Sanders is the failed experiment. Well, I think Chuba Hubbard's been a revelation the second half of the
exactly.
season.
Exactly. So, I mean,
Chuba goes down. Look what happens. Chuba goes down. They get their asses kicked the next week.
Which is why I don't think that they'll go for him.
See,
there's other places that they really need help. So,
okay, here's what I'll give you. You can have Sanders and Hubbard, or you can have Scataboo and Hubbard. Which one of those two are you taking? Because I'm taking Scataboo and Hubbard.
Oh,
without a doubt. Like, not even thinking about it. That's an easy pick for me.
I guess.
That's a layup for me.
But we haven't seen the guy run in the NFL yet.
That also correct. Also correct. All right, so we'll see how that shapes up. The answer to me, Texter, is, can I see it happening? Yeah. Do I think it's likely? Probably not. Because I think the Panthers are drafting well above the spot where I think the Panthers are drafting well above the spot where Cam Scataboo is coming off the board. And I don't think you push back for him. Now, unless you think he is the best thing to help your team, but as Lonzo pointed out, there's so many places you need help that I don't know that I'm getting a running back, because you would trade back for that. And even though it would allow you to pick up a lot of spots, a lot of other draft picks down the line, you're missing out on some of the best players in the draft to do that.
Will on the stream mentioned Janty. Is Scataboo, why would he be the second running back picked?
I think he will be, honestly. I think he will be. I think if
so
you...
So why would Carolina go for him? And because Janty will be gone?
That would
be two running backs in the top 10, and that's probably not going to happen.
Here is where NFLDraftBuzz.com, which is a website that I regularly use, they have the rankings this way. Ashton Janty, Omarion Hampton out of Carolina, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, Dylan Sampson from... Oh, I forgot about Dylan Sampson. That dude might be a guy, too. Good change of pace back. Home run swinger right there. Jordan James from Oregon, Travion Henderson from Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, Devin Neal from Kansas, Nick Singleton from Penn State, Breshard Smith from SMU, Khalil Mullings from Michigan. They have Cam Scataboo 12th. I don't agree with that.
See, I thought Judkins was low. Coming back, but...
These are their draft profiles. It doesn't mean that they are all opting into the draft.
By the way, I just said something with my mic off. I'm self-reporting. It is now tied 1-1.
Nice. 1-1, and I worked two more days than you did this week. So technically, I'm winning now. I think that's how the rules work.
No, that's not how that works.
Let's see. Texter said Irish. Texter said Buckeyes. They are getting hot at the right time and beating other teams. Also, everyone expected a close game, but they proved everyone wrong so far. I'm one of those people. I took Oregon and the 2.5 points. Actually, I took Oregon and teased it to 3, but took Oregon to win that game. I've already said it. I said it last night. I said it last night on national radio. All right. So this isn't a thing that I'm not willing to take national, because I did last night. I think Ohio State's winning the national championship. I think Ohio State is clearly the best team in the playoffs. And before anybody goes, wait a minute, Rob, Penn State has also won two games, and Penn State has also won two games convincingly. Yes, that is true. Penn State has also won two games convincingly against, I think, in both rounds, the team that everybody thought was the weakest opponent in that round. Was there a team in round one that people thought was worse than SMU? What was least deserving to be there, less deserving of being there than SMU? I don't think there was.
Some people might have said Indiana.
I think most people would have said SMU, a team that checked in second in the ACC. I think a lot of people would have said SMU. But either way, they're no worse, or they're no better than the second to last best team in round one. Round two, was there a team in the second round that you could have played that was less intimidating than Boise State? No, there wasn't. That was the team that everybody was looking at in that spot as the team you'd most want to play in round number two. So I would argue that, and you can take this however you want to take it, I would argue that Penn State had the easiest path to the semifinals of any of the four teams that made it here. I would argue, honestly, Ohio State had the toughest path to the semifinals. I think they had the best visiting team in round one in Tennessee, and they had the best team, and I'm gonna air quote this. I think they had the best team in the tournament in round two, and they kicked the dog snot out of both of them. They beat the hell out of both of them. I think Ohio State had the toughest route to the semifinals, and they dog walked them twice. Right now, Ohio State looks like the best team in this tournament, not particularly close.
I'm still a little nervous, though.
Why?
I mean, I don't know.
Just because that's football?
Yeah, because that's the answer. I mean, just because things are supposed to be doesn't mean they will be.
That's the answer.
And how they played the last 2 weeks, will they have that same fire coming in against Texas? I don't know.
That's very fair.
Maybe Chip Kelly goes, you know what? That Michigan plan really worked well. Let's see if it works against Texas.
By the way,
I mean, you know.
Can we talk about Chip Kelly? Does Chip Kelly deserve some flowers? Not an apology, because I do believe Chip Kelly screwed you in the Michigan game. And we talked about this because Mario asked me last night on BetMGM Tonight when I was filling in. He said we got into the conversation about, you know, Ohio. If you're Ohio State, who makes you the most nervous out of the teams that are left standing? My answer was Notre Dame. Like, I'm not afraid of James Franklin because we beat James Franklin's ass every time we've played him. My answer was Notre Dame. So if my answer is Notre Dame there, Brandon, who's a Notre Dame fan, he said, how do you trust Will Howard over Riley Leonard? And my answer was, how do you not trust Will Howard right now? How do you not trust Will Howard? The man's had two games in the playoffs, and he's been good. Not passable, good in these two games.
He had one bad game. That was against Michigan.
And wait a minute.
And he made a mistake in Oregon. It wasn't a bad game for him.
Here's where I'm going with that. He had a bad game against Michigan. Here's the thing. I think Chip Kelly backed him into a corner against
Michigan.
So do I,
for sure.
I don't think Will Howard had a bad game. I think Chip Kelly screwed the Buckeyes with his play calling in that game, didn't trust Will Howard to make plays. Michigan said, we're going to tee off on your running backs, and we're going to make Will Howard beat us. And Chip Kelly said, oh, we're still going to run the ball. We're not. And by the way, not run the ball with like stuff to get away from the interior. We're going to run the ball into the teeth of where you're attacking us every play. I think Chip Kelly screwed the Buckeyes in that game. You turn around in the college football playoffs, Chip Kelly turns Will Howard loose, and my dude's turning in 253 touchdowns.
Yeah, they're winning through the air.
Yeah.
For sure. And if they would have did that against Michigan,
they'd have beat him by 40.
They would have.
I agree. I think Chip Kelly was the reason. And by the way, and again, he's in charge of all of it. But at this point, I got to tell you, all the Buckeye fans had started going after Ryan Day after the Michigan loss. I'm like, you better be on Chip Kelly because it's kind of on him. Ryan Day has given Chip Kelly full autonomy to call the plays. That's the guy you need to dog.
How do we know? And it hasn't been speculated that I'm aware of. How do we know that Ryan Day, after Michigan, didn't say, you know what, I'm getting back into the offensive side and going to help call the plays?
I mean, maybe, but like,
because he was like an offensive genius before he brought him in.
Here's why. Because the offense that I've seen the last 2 weeks out of Ohio State is very UCLA when Chip Kelly was in charge there.
Is it more Oregon-like when he was in charge of Oregon?
Fair too. It's very,
because in Oregon he had weapons.
Yep.
Now he
opened him up.
Now he has real weapons.
Yeah. And now he has them, and he's discovered them. That's the thing.
Wow, look. Yeah. I got
you mean
receivers
if I,
out there that
you
can
mean
roll.
If I got a 6'9 receiver that can jump over the top of the Rose Bowl, I should throw it to him. Shocking.
Yeah,
I know.
But he's a freshman. Freshmen don't play really well.
He's a damn stud, is what he is. You want to beat Jeremiah Smith, you recruit Optimus Prime and put him in a helmet. I don't know what else to do to stop that guy. Another one of the reasons I'm picking the Buckeyes. All right, who is the semifinal team that you think is going to win the national championship? Text Buckeyes, Longhorns, Irish, or Lions to 844-326-3663. Text the name of your team, Buckeyes, Lions, Irish, Longhorns, to 844-326-3663. We will tabulate those votes at the end of the show and let you know who the people's champion is. Right now, the Buckeyes are running away with it. And before we go to break, I want to remind you all that on the new text line, you don't have to start your text with fan anymore. We finally have earned our own dedicated text line. You don't have to put fan on the beginning
anymore.
It only
anymore. Took about, you know.
4.5 years.
It took about 10 or 11 years.
Okay, for me, it took 4.5 years.
Yeah. So it's, the station's been around since before you got here.
844-326-3663. You did not have to text fan anymore. Text us. Start your text with Lions, Buckeyes, Longhorns, or Irish. Tell us who you think is winning the Natty. We'll tell you who the People's Champ is at the end. The People's Champ is Lonzo.
I've also been here since the beginning. Alpha, baby.
You never got your own text line, though.
The final college football playoff semifinal spot has been claimed by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. With a 23-10 win over the Georgia Bulldogs, Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard threw for only 90 yards and a touchdown, and Notre Dame ran for 150. But a 98-yard kickoff return for a touchdown separated the teams. Georgia's sophomore quarterback Gunnar Stockton, as I told you, threw for 234 yards and a touchdown in his first start. But Georgia had three critical drops, including a likely touchdown. Notre Dame will take on Penn State in the semis. We will see how that goes. Tune in this Saturday, which would be tomorrow, in case you didn't know, at 3:30 as Furman Paladins take on the UNC Greensboro Spartans. It's Furman versus UNC Greensboro. It's hard to say. Right here on your home for Furman basketball. It's us. It is the Fan Upstate.